And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
Good evening. And welcome to episode 15 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite Review Show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight is Lawrence. Lawrence, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, Jeff. I'm doing very okay.
Just very okay? Just kind of leveled out a little bit? Or
Yeah.
Did you happen to see Dark this week?
No, but I wish I did because of the Memphis guys.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about the Memphis guys. First of all, Dave Brown.
I did see Dave Brown
joined
last week.
Joined Excalibur on commentary.
That was fantastic. I was like, oh my god, how great is that?
So let me do a quick rundown of who was there and who was honored. First of all, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. Apparently, trainer of Adam Page. I did not know that.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
Kevin Lawler standing in for, obviously, his brother, you know, the late Brian Christopher Lawler. And his, let's face it, his father, too.
Yeah.
I think I don't need to say who that was. Dave Brown was honored as well, standing in for Lance Russell. Lance Russell's son was there too. Unfortunately, I scribbled his name. I can't really read what I wrote. So, Lance Russell's son. I'm sorry. I fluffed your name. My bad. Also, there was Austin Idol.
Oh my God! Yes.
Doug Gilbert, of course. You know, good Memphis wrestler in his own right, standing in for his father Tommy, and of course
Eddie.
Hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert. Probably the best of the three, if we're honest, by far. The Rock and Roll Express, you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi's favorite team up these days. And then Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, I saw Lanny on the actual AEW show from the previous
week. Yeah, I did not recognize him, but he was there, of course, also standing in for Angelo, you know, and their father, and of course his much more famous brother, Randy Savage. Of course, you know, Randy Savage is who we have to thank for the whole putting people through tables shtick now. down there in Memphis, of all things. So yeah, you know what? I'm gonna be honest. Memphis wrestling was something I only learned about later in my wrestling education, because I didn't really get Memphis, TV in Chicago when I was growing up. I had to wait till I was like in college to know about Memphis wrestling. But, no, I actually thought that was a pretty decent segment.
That's really cool. I'm just really glad they brought a lot of those guys, in, this day and age. It's really, really neat.
Yeah. As far as the matches on Dark, Darby Allin beat Brandon Cutler. That match was okay. I mean, I thought Brandon Cutler got way too much offense. like Darby Allin gave him way too much room. And then we had Nyla Rose and Shanna, which never actually became a match because they never actually made it into the ring. Really, and it was just absolute mayhem, and you know they were putting, you know, they were just clubbing the crap out of each other, putting each other through tables. This was high key the best thing on AEW programming in weeks, and I said so, and even Shanna gave it a like. So you know, hey,
that's awesome.
But no, this was great. This was two wrestlers. It's like, you know, the whole trouble about the women's matches, you know, and not just in AEW, but, you know, it's always seems to be there's only like one program ever going, and it's always centered around the title. And this was just two of the women, not involved in a title program, just two wrestlers who just want to beat the high holy shit out of each other. And This was great. I loved it.
Wow.
So, yeah, definitely check that out. I did not watch the final match of Dark because there is not enough money you could pay me to watch a match that has Sean Spears, Peter Avalon, and Billy Gunn in it. So, no, I bailed on that one. So.
Do we really have to include Billy Gunn in this?
Talk to AEW. They're the one who the ones who included him in this.
Oh, man.
But, so anyway, so with that being said, let's move on to AEW Dynamite Episode 15, Bash at the Beach, live from the Watsco Center in it's actually Coral Gables, but, you know, we'll call it Miami. Why not? But the show starts with actually some tributes because, of course, Rocky Johnson died today.
Yeah, that's what a shock that was.
I found that out.
What is a terrible week for wrestling deaths? My God.
Yeah, and I mean, JR also made mention of the deaths, the tragic deaths of the Triple A La Parca, who, just so we can throw this out there, is not the one from WCW, because that's LA Park.
Fucking La Park was like retweeting people too that were like saying he was dead and everything, which like didn't help matters.
Yeah. So yeah, no, this is a different wrestler. He used to be known as Chris La Momia in AAA before he was given the La Park. And in fact, he was actually known as La Parka Jr. at first, so there wouldn't be confusion. And then, you know, the junior just kind of got drunk. But also in the past couple of days, we had Kazuo Sakurada, a.k.a. the second Kendo Nagasaki, the actual Japanese one, not the British one.
Yeah.
He passed away. That one was a weird one. Malfunctioning pacemaker.
Oh,
did
God.
Him in. Yeah.
I didn't hear that, the details on that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
So, yeah, that's something. And then I heard a name, Furpo. And I vaguely know who Furpo is, but I'm not familiar.
Oh, wow, that one I don't know.
So no disrespect to Furpo's family, I just did not catch the name, and I'm not altogether familiar with him. Regardless, you know, rest in peace everyone involved. And this has just been, that's four inside of a week. That's not, that's not awful.
And it's not great at all. Rocky actually did some a little bit of a tour of Japan actually, and you know, coinciding with your other show.
We'll get into that. I'll write about it on my blog later this week too, which is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. But I don't really write AEW stuff there. Moving on to the show, we start right off with a four-way tag team number one contenders match, in which we had Adam Page and Kenny Omega against Santana Ortiz, against Best Friends, against the Young Bucks. And I'm not a fan of multi-man, multi-unit matches, but it was a fun spot fest.
It really was. And like, really, what I just basically compared it to, as you saw, was kind of just like one of those crazy PWG multi-mans that were just like, just insane. You know, just like crazy, just back and forth action, constant.
Yeah, let's face it, most of these folk have PWG, you know, DNA. So, you know,
right, exactly. So, yeah, they definitely kind of just they took that formula and just kind of ran with it and did a lot of that stuff. You had a few of the really stupid looking stuff where they like wait. Seven people wait on the outside for a guy doing a suplex to the out. It's just like, I always found that stuff to be really ridiculous. I don't like it personally, but.
But in the end, Adam Page gets a pin on Trent Beretta, or was it Chuck Taylor? I think it was Beretta. No, it was. Yeah. It was Chuck Taylor, wasn't it?
Yeah, they teased some more dissension here. with Paige, where he just kind of looked out of place at times, and you know, there was some accidental bumping with Omega, and
yeah, and yeah, then we had a ref bump in the. In the first match, we had a ref bump. I was like, oh, my God, why?
It was, like, the most pointless ref bump, too. Like, it didn't even, like, really need to happen.
Right.
So that was the weird part of it. Like, it just was really felt like it was, like, just, I was like, okay, I'm not sure why that was necessary, but okay.
Yeah.
This Paige and Omega thing, it's, oh boy, we're gonna talk about this more.
yeah, we will. But you know, I just want to point out, give special high marks to, first of all, Santana or Ortiz, because they were on tonight.
Oh my God, they were incredible in this match. I thought they were like by far like the just the standouts in this. They were great.
And then I also, of course, you know, the most over. One in the match wasn't even really a participant in the match in Orange Cassidy.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
That suplex spot and fucking Orange Cassidy just like.
Yeah. Like, and he even did the kip up with his hands in his pocket, you know. So, yeah, Orange Cassidy is a true delight each and every time, no matter what he does. Even if he doesn't do anything, you know. He's just a true delight each and every week on this program. But yeah, the match was it was a PWGS spot fest. It was good. It was a good opener, I thought. Next up we
had so like after that match too that like you know, yeah, the Young Bucks were pretty pissed because like Adam Page basically kind of stole the win from them,
right.
And like they were kind of telling him, I'm like, yo, what the hell's going on with you? And that's going to play into a little bit what happens a little later.
Yeah. Going with the theme, you know, they're in Miami. They've done everything up in very, you know, 80s style. You know, the Miami Vice, you know, color scheme and the font. And all that. And then we have Cody Rhodes coming out to cut a promo, dressed like Sonny Crockett. All this really makes me do is just, I almost kind of just wanted to stop and just put on some old Miami Vice episodes, to be quite honest.
Or just listen to Don Johnson's, like, solo album.
I wouldn't go that far, but but I have been wanting to. I really have been wanting to go back and watch some old Miami Vice episodes lately because you know Michael Mann is he is a god amongst men, it turns out. But anyway, Cody Rhodes cuts a promo, going itemizing MJF's list and agreeing to each and every stipulation. So Cody Rhodes really trying to be Tommy Dreamer out here. And take his whipping.
Oh man, yeah. He literally said what you've been saying about MJF for the past like.
I know, Cody. Are you listening to us, brother? Because hit us up. I'm at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. Lawrence is at LOB_3. Chris is at Brazilian Fury with an S, not a Z. Come on, man. Yeah. Hit us up.
Yeah, he basically said MJF is basically being a lazy heel.
Yeah, and that's what we... Yeah, well, you know. So, hey, maybe we've caught on to something. Or maybe it's just the truth, and this just needs to be said, you know.
Oh, man. But then, we had Janela after this, sounding like he was on about, like, two different kinds of painkillers.
Boy, he repeated himself like in the first 30 seconds.
Oh my God.
That promo was not good. I think next time we have a Joey Janela promo, can we just overdub some sound clips of Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Because that would make it about 10 times more entertaining. Because, oh my, you know what? Joey Janela can put on a good WrestleMania weekend show, but my God, that promo was fucking awful.
I think Janela within the confines of a television show is just, oh boy, it's just not good. This is just not very good. All of this, Yeah, I don't think anybody really is in too invested in this, and it's just not it's not very entertaining stuff,
Yeah, and
honestly.
you know, let's face it, real life breakups becoming angles, not fun. They really are not fun.
It just doesn't look like any of the people involved are really enjoying this at all.
Yeah.
It's I mean, like I said, there were rumors that Janelle initially didn't really want to do this, and why it got kind of kiboshed in the first place. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how this is gonna go. It just doesn't feel very good. But Janelle is gonna face Phoenix next week, though. That could be an interesting match, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, especially since they're still trying to push the whole Lucha Bros are heels shtick. So yeah, and you know, the thing is, I don't think Phoenix even really understands that that's what's going on. I have this feeling
It's
Phoenix doesn't
really
actually know that this is what's going on.
yeah.
But anyway, our next match was Chris
A
Statlander.
little bit of a surprise for Jeff.
Yeah, it was actually Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida against Brandi Rhodes and Melanie Cruz with Dr. Luther, the alleged deathmatch icon that I have absolutely no memory of watching. And I did used to watch FMW and Wing, so you know. But you know, this match originally was advertised with Awesome Kong, but apparently she had an illness.
Yep, that's what was said. He was not medically cleared.
Yeah, and this match would have been about 100 times better with Awesome Kong in it, because this match stank.
Oh my God, this was not good. Just there was like within like the first like 2 minutes, there were about like three like complete whiffs of like just terrible looking moves and like oh just completely business exposing like bad like misses.
Yeah, it was, you know, honestly, Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander deserve so much better. This match
Also,
was not good.
I gotta mention though, I finally did catch up with the show last week, and Brandi Rhodes calling Excalibur Exhibit on commentary legitimately made me laugh out loud for about like a whole minute. So I thought that was hilarious, but everything else she's done has been terrible. So I mean, I guess
I'm sorry you went back and watched last week's.
I had to be a trooper, Jeff, and I had to be informed, hashtag informed for this show. And yeah, no, that was certainly an episode of television. But
It was 2 hours. Yes, it was.
but yeah, this patch was pretty bad. The crowd definitely signified that as well because there was like not a peep for this match, dude. I mean, the silence for this match was deafening. It was
Yeah, and again, it's a damn shame because, like I said, Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida both deserve much better.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is just such a waste of them. This Nightmare Collective stuff, it's gotta stop. It's gotta stop, like, and now. I mean, I'm sorry, but they gotta pull the plug on this shit. I mean,
Well,
this is just bad.
well, they also need to pull the plug on the Dark Order at this
Oh,
point because.
both of them. Just pull them out back and just shoot them.
Because, well, damn.
Oh no, oh no, just it's gotta just
I
oh.
mean, you know what? Remember we were so into this at first, and as I reminded Chris last week, I said on the show that they're gonna find a way to fuck this up, and
And sure enough,
well, they did it. They found a way to fuck this up, and it's fucked up, and it's now just gotten to the point of yeah, this neat. Yeah, this has already gone rotten, and
Jeff's pessimism once again pays off.
yeah, well, you know, maybe it's just my experience with professional wrestling at work here. Okay, so I know I saw a few tweets about it, so I'm gonna put this into audio form now. Why are the Dark Order paying to broadcast their secret board meetings.
Dude, I just cannot with this. This is just so bad.
Yeah, this is all. Yeah,
and all with the Darth Vader like voice changer with for their anonymous leader and everything. Like, oh my god, it's so fucking corny.
Yeah, this is something that we enjoyed at first. It was kind of something new, something different, and now it's just. Not good. Excuse me. Sorry.
It's like something from an 80s wrestling show that you could like go back and laugh at, but except it's like a modern segment. And it's like, oh no.
Oh lordy. So
it's like one of those bad WCW segments from like the early 90s.
We kept joking in the beginning of the show that. Yeah, we thought that this definitely was, AEW was really doing WCW cosplay, and they've kind of leaned into that, and it's not always for good effect, folks.
I mean, DDP, when he gets in the ring later on, is like, hey, who would have thought WCW was going to be back on TV and, like, on TNT, basically.
We're jumping ahead a little bit on that, but...
So I was like, oh, wow.
So.
Well.
The third match of the evening. This was a good one. Sammy Guevara against John freaking Moxley, the man who can do no wrong. And he continued to do no wrong tonight. And yeah. This was a really good match, actually. I thought Mox gave Sammy Guevara way too much offense for, Mox's character. But let's face it, we all know he's just doing this to keep limber for his encounter with Minoru Suzuki in the month of February.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see fucking Mox on an eye patch face fucking Suzuki in some sort of sick One Piece fantasy for Minoru Suzuki.
Oh lordy! But anyway, once again, we're jumping ahead. can we point out how Mox, as you pointed out to me in the chat, number one did the headlock driver.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my god, I haven't seen him do that move in fucking since like the early Shield days. I missed it at some point or another, but man, that's the last time I remember him doing it.
And then a submission finish for Mox.
Yeah. I really liked that they did that to get that over the choke.
He's getting ready for Suzuki. I'm telling you.
You could actually really. Say that with when he how he won that match. It was pretty interesting. I like the way they did that. Get something another like kind of move over for Mox to do that. So yeah, this was pretty good. Guevara just kind of the story with Guevara, which I like that they kind of been doing. It's just like the guy is so talented, but he just cannot help himself for being a cocky little shit, and it gets him in trouble and loses in matches.
Yeah, and also, did you notice how they cut to a full commercial right when in the middle of his Bob Dylan impersonation again? His Subterranean Homesick Blues impersonation.
Oh God.
So after the match, we get the entire damn Inner Circle ganging up on Moxley, up to and including Jericho taking one of the spikes off of his leather jacket, which, by the way, is not actually a spike. And jams it right into his damn eye. So Mox gets to sell that.
Yeah, again, Dusty Rhodes, like.
Yeah, right.
Again, another callback.
Right, but I mean, at the heart of this all, you could tell that Jericho and Moxley are just enjoying this.
Oh yeah,
and so are we. Frankly, I mean, when two wrestlers are obviously enjoying their shtick, it makes it enjoyable for the audience too.
Yep.
It really does. And then as we come back to commercial, I miss this. So you pointed out Jericho was just being a little shit.
Yep. Oh yeah. Jericho was basically was being an asshole.
Not Jericho.
Well, everybody was. Jericho was basically taunting Moxley over the eye thing. He said something of the likes of like you only the Inner Circle is going to keep an eye on you since you only have one left.
Yeah, so yeah.
And then Jake Hager made it an R pirate noise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a chud, but okay. I mean, it fits the bit there, but so yeah. So now we have all this drama. Will Moxley be able to wrestle the winner of Pac versus Darby Allin for the number one contendership to the AEW title on the Jericho boat next week?
Yep.
From there we go into the fourth match of the evening, the one of the few advertised matches actually, in which MJF and the Butcher and the Blade go up against a pretty hodgepodge team of Dustin Rhodes, QT Marshall, and Diamond Dallas Page.
I'll tell you what though, Dallas looked fucking good though.
It was actually amazing. I was actually, despite last week where those diamond cutters did not look great, DDP actually did not look as bad as I thought he would in the ring, and up to it, including doing a top rope dive to the outside.
Oh my God, man.
But it. The match was better than I thought it would be, but it still was not great by any stretch.
Yeah, it was okay,
I
but
mean,
I just appreciated Dally just killing it.
yeah, and and I mean, I think I can speak for myself. I'm already bored with MJF's shtick,
Yeah, I mean, like the I banged Dallas's daughter shirt, it's like
Yeah.
wow,
I mean,
really
it's just, I mean, we already have one Chris Jericho.
we're really taking the low hanging fruit here. And like
Yeah.
the thing is, like Jericho does it in a way where it's like there's like a funny ass charm, a funny charm to it, where
Well,
it's like,
at least with his AEW character, which I still insist is like his WCW character ramped up,
yeah.
With 20 years experience, but I mean, MJF has one shtick, whereas Jericho, I mean, well, let's face it, New Japan Jericho is a completely different character.
Right, he evolves everything
Yeah.
he does. Yeah,
So.
and this is, it's just MJF. He's just doing. He's just picking the low hanging fruit again. Really, just nothing that inspires creativity whatsoever. I mean, it's just really lame.
Yeah,
It's getting really lame.
he's a lazy heel. Yeah, that's all it
Yeah,
is. He's a lazy heel.
Cody really wasn't far off the mark on that.
Nope. No, he was not. And yeah, so that's how that's gonna go. Before the main event, we had a promo. Ostensibly, it was supposed to be with SCU, but then we had an appearance by Adam Page. And yeah, Lawrence put one in the Lawrence was right column.
Oh my God. So yeah, Adam Page shows up with a drink in his fucking hand, and Kenny is like trying to like kind of keep him away from the situation because he's obviously been under the influence of alcohol. And yep, like I said, they're going with the Scott Hall storyline where Adam Page's got a drinking problem, and
Like how much did Paige have to drink to get that trashed
yeah,
within an hour and
right.
a half?
Like, oh, man,
I mean,
I just
I mean, I've done it, and I know how much I drank to get to that point. So.
Oh, maybe he's a lightweight, Jeff.
Maybe. I mean,
Maybe you just can't throw him back like you can.
Well, I wasn't really bragging when I said that, but But yeah, so I mean, yeah, so he spills, you know, he spills whiskey on Kazarian, which I'm sure. Oh, I'm sorry, no, Christopher Daniels, my
Yeah.
bad. Which I'm
Oh,
sure is
no.
not the first time that Christopher Daniels has had whiskey spilled on
Yeah,
him.
I was gonna say, like, of all people to be complaining about a beverage, the man that like used to flaunt his apple teenies all over the goddamn place,
Yeah.
like it.
But yeah, so yeah, you know, Kenny Omega trying to be, you know, good clean baby face here. I'm like, oh lordy.
This is very incredibly uncomfortable. I gotta say, like, it's like very uncomfortable, especially with there's some I've had some family issues related to this, so it's a very incredibly uncomfortable subject for me to, for them to be playing out on TV like this.
Yeah, you know, and it really wasn't funny when they did it with Scott Hall either, because a
No,
lot of
it.
that was legit too. You know,
Yeah,
there's a lot of legitimacy to that, because I think
and
we all remember the Dana Hall letter.
yo,
You know.
yeah. It's just I don't, I don't. I'm not really a fond of this. What they're doing here. And I had a feeling it was headed this way when a few weeks ago, and boy, was I unfortunately right.
This really can't end well. I mean, yeah, it just, if you're gonna turn Adam Page, just fucking turn him, you know?
Yeah, like
Do
do
it.
you really gotta do it like this? Like,
But he's been
I don't.
drinking. That's why he won't be with the Elite, because, you know, who wouldn't want to be with the Elite under normal circumstances? Fuck
Yeah,
off.
and
You
I
know?
don't know. Just to me, it's just I don't usually like to get on my soapbox about stuff in wrestling because I get it. It's pro wrestling, man. It's a lot of just fucking craziness. It's a lot of just ridiculous storylines and just, really good. But man, it's just, I don't know. This to me just really cheapens a struggle a lot of people go through constantly, and a lot of people have a problem with this. And like I said, I have some personal ties to this too that just make me feel very uncomfortable that it's just being kind of played out almost looks like it's a joke almost. Where it's really not funny. Alcoholism is an incredibly serious problem, and I don't want to sound like that guy where that I was like, but it's just I don't know. I don't like it, Jeff. I'm not fond of this, and I really think this is something they need to really go back to the drawing board with and think, do we really want to keep going with this and kind of perpetuate this further? Because I don't know. I just think it sends a really bad message to people.
No, I feel it. No, it's not a. I mean, it's an ill-advised storyline. So I'm hoping that they kind of, you know, drop this soon. So our main event of the evening. Actually, I was really looking forward to this match, and it really paid off. It was Darby Allin against Billy the Fish, the Bastard Pack, and yeah, wow, this was a great match. I absolutely love this match.
Yeah, and they worked together pretty darn well. They just it was a nice this quick kind of TV crash, car crash type of main event. And I thought they worked together very well. They both can fly and bump around like crazy, and it just worked.
Yeah, and yeah, it was great, and you know, Darby Allin once again got to play, you know, baby face in peril. He could take so much punishment, but sometimes he just takes too much of it, and he gave out, and you know, a couple of black arrows later, Pac is your winner and will presumably face Jon Moxley, although he didn't seem to think so. And so we get that wonderful Geordie accent of his cutting a promo in Miami. But not to be undeterred, John Moxley decides to leave the ambulance with an eye patch on, blood on his skin, like his face and shoulder area. And he said, hell no, yeah, I'm gonna be on the Jericho boat next week.
My God.
that was an image. That was a good image. He looked like Snake Plissken. You know, Snake Plissken or Solid Snake from, what's that game?
Metal Gear. Yeah, I mean, at least the one thing they're doing right in the AEW, I can say for sure, is just presenting Moxley, man. He is a star.
He is. I mean, it's translated well in New Japan too. I mean, this same stick has translated so well everywhere.
I gotta think though, next week I have a feeling Jericho might have a hand in that match.
Yeah, he probably will.
And because I have a feeling, yeah, Pac's probably gonna win somehow via, you know, some wackiness, and I have a feeling it's going to be Pac versus Jericho, because I think they want to drag out the Moxley and Jericho thing a little longer.
Well, the pay-per-view's not until February, and I should know because I'm going to be there. So,
right.
I think what they'll do is if it does end up being Pac, it'll be on a TV episode, and then you know, leading in the pay-per-view, it'll be Moxley and Jericho. Which, if that is actually the main event at the show, I will be thrilled.
It makes a lot of sense. I think that's probably the way they're going to go.
But with that, we wrap up AEW Dynamite Episode 15, Bash at the Beach. Lawrence, pros and cons.
Boy, let's see. The start. I mean, the opening match was really fun. I mean, it was a lot of action. A lot of just like crazy back and forth PWG stuff, and really, really good way to start off the night. Let's see. Then obviously, yeah. Both of the AEW like tournament matches, I guess you could tell, like, well, number one contenders tournament matches were pretty good, man. Moxley and Guevara and Pac and Allen, just really, really solid matches that did what they were supposed to. Obviously, DDP was pretty awesome.
Much better than last week. Last week was embarrassing. This was amazing in comparison.
And then Mox, obviously, just the whole Moxley thing just came off really good. Jericho played their shtick up really, really good, and just like reinforced the fact that they're just kind of a bunch of D-bags. The cons though. The cons were bad though. I mean, the Nightmare Collective and Dark Order stuff back to back just took the wind out of the sails of the crowd, I think, for a good amount of time. Oh my God, man, this is really, 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 really bad. It's getting to that point now where it's like, this is beyond repair, I think.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. If we're gonna continue with the cons, Joey Janela, that promo was awful, and I think you're right. He seemed like he was on another astral plane or something. my pros, of course, Moxley, always Moxley. Even Jericho, his limited involvement, he was great tonight too. I really enjoyed, you know, the main event, Billy the Fish against Darby Allin. Going back to the cons, yeah, this whole Adam Page is drinking thing.
Oh, yeah. That
needs to stop yesterday, because it will just not end well. It will just plain old not end well. And then, yeah, the second match, the women's match, complete waste of time and talent for Chris Statlander, Hikaru Shida. Melanie Cruz was not good, and I need never see Brandi Rhodes in the ring again. I really wish Awesome Kong had been in this match as advertised.
Yeah.
So, But that's that. Overall, though, I have to say this is much improved on last week. Somehow AEW won the ratings, like almost getting nearly a million viewers. I don't know how with that garbage, but let's see how that carried over into this week.
People like garbage, Jeff.
I guess. Or something. Or you know, again, they were just coasting from last week, and then, you know, we'll see how the numbers translate this week, especially since NXT had, you know, the return of Time Splitters advertised.
Oof!
So, yeah. And I know that that's going to, you know, pop at least some people that we know, so... but next week, they are on a boat somewhere. I don't know exactly where, so I don't know what I'm going to put for the location for the episode other than on a Norwegian cruise line.
Yeah.
But they'll be on a Jericho boat, and we will have...
the Judas in the Sea.
We will have Jon Moxley versus Pac again. Last time they went to a time limit draw. Let's see where this one goes. We'll also have an AEW World Tag Team title match between Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, defending against Adam Page and Kenny Omega. And yep. that's what's been advertised so far. So, Lawrence, any plugs?
You could find me on Twitter at LOB_3. You can find the Piro in the Rough podcast that I do. You can search us on iTunes. Just search the name up on iTunes. Or we are on soundcloud.com/PITRV2. PITRV2 on SoundCloud. We might be having a episode coming down the pipe pretty soon in regards to a lot of the New Year's shows that went down in Japan. So
there were a lot of them.
Oh, and I still haven't watched almost any of them. So hopelessly behind. So it's great, great stuff. But yeah, that's about all I got.
Usually I plug my Twitter, but I already kind of did this week earlier in the show. I am going to plug something else, though. A mutual friend of ours, Lawrence, at Jazz Juliet, artist on Twitter. Oh. You know, she's done some somewhat, you know, wrestling Twitter famous prints of Minoru Suzuki, both a retrospective one and one that was made for New York, as well as some other art pieces. She's actually selling prints of those pieces, something she never does, to raise funds for the World Central Kitchen to help feed those affected in Puerto Rico by the recent earthquakes. But the sales, it's already been going on for 5 days. It's going to come down on Friday. So if you're listening, you might want to go ahead and try to get in on this. The link you want to go to is inprnt.com/gallery/JASJBN. Or you can just look her up at JAS Juliet on Twitter. Her pinned tweet is the link to this. So, go ahead and do that. Help raise some money to help people who were affected in Puerto Rico by the earthquakes. So, with that in mind, that's all I got. Lawrence, any last words?
No, I got nothing.
Okay, well, with that in mind, we'll see you on a boat next week. Take care of yourself.